One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Ha-ha! Yes! I'm Ryan. That's Dave and Bobby. You're listening to our podcast.
Indeed.
Oh, yeah.
How's my sound, Bobby? Am I coming off too intense?
Yeah, you're a little
usually
intense.
You are, yeah.
Nice.
Most times.
Let me ask you guys something. Bobby specifically. Bobby, you're married.
Mm-hmm.
Does your wife respect sleep? I know you just had a baby, so there's not a lot of sleeping going on.
Right.
But prior to that, when you're sleeping, does she tiptoe? Does she respect that?
She really does. Like, she, to her, sleep is a huge deal. So she, like, she's really into it. She likes to get her 8 hours and stuff, and so she feels it's reciprocal. To be honest, it doesn't bother me that much. I'm kind of like a sleep seagull. I'll just sleep where I can get it. I don't have, like, really detailed requirements. Just like a seagull will eat anything, I'll just doze off for 30 minutes in an easy chair, and I'm good.
That is a great skill to have.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I'm so envious.
Oh, I wish. My day, I asked this for a reason. My day started off with an argument, which you never want that. But,
hassling homeless people again?
Sounds like it's about to end with an argument on Tuesday when this airs, too.
She doesn't listen to the show. So what happens is this. This whole week, my days have been starting at 5:30 a.m. and ending at 11:30 p.m. So I was very behind on sleep. And no show last night. I was really looking forward to sleeping in. This podcast didn't start till 12. I'm like, I can't wait to get like a good, solid 10 hours of Z's, you know? And I explained that to Erin. She knew it. And then this morning, you know, starting at fucking, 7:30. Hey, let the dog out. The dog has to go pee. I don't want him to pee in the house. So I get up. I let the dog out, come back in. Hey, the other dog has to go in, go out now. Go let him out. Hey, can you bring me a water? Yeah, bring me a water. And then also, you know, finally, I'm already showing signs of agitation. I'm very clear when I'm showing signs of agitation.
You?
It starts out subtly, believe it or not. It doesn't start out with, bah! Like, I'll start moving very tensely. I'll put my head back down on the pillow real hard. And then the blackout curtains we have in our bedroom got opened. And then there was a bunch of other moving around. And that's when I was like, that's it! And here's why I got so mad. Here's why. It's because when she is sleeping, she loves her sleep. Number one, if I have to be up in the morning and she doesn't.
Right. You're like a ninja.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I dressed in the dark. I come out wearing two different shoes.
No, absolutely. When you pose the question, Bobby, I was going to say, like, I was married before. And plus, I've had girlfriends where we lived together for a long time. And I feel like it's such a cliche. Like, it's a running joke now in general. Like, when a guy gets up first, he creeps around like a ninja, do real quiet. And this has been my experience, too. When the woman gets up first, just fucking normal. Regular. Even louder than normal.
Erin starts talking to the dogs like they're human.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to sleep. She's like, is somebody a good boy? And I'm like, and all of a sudden, then loudly lamenting that she has too few bras and we need to buy more bras because that's what needs to be fucking announced right then. And so that's one thing. Another thing that makes it infuriating is growing up, waking the sleeping father.
Yeah.
It was just not to be done.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd come in like, Ma, shh, your father's sleeping. I'm like, not go in there. I need you to sign a permission slip. Fuck the permission slip. I'll sign it tomorrow. The pen against the who the fuck is talking? And then she'll start talking to me when I'm sleeping like I'm up. Like, all of a sudden, I'll hear her words like, go, so we need to pay the electric this week, and then we'll pay the water next week. I'm like, who the fuck are you talking about? Like,
you want to make America great again.
I do.
What you want.
Ryan,
I want to make America sleep again.
You would be so jealous of my household because we have like a crazy sleep schedule because we have the new baby where she goes to bed at like 8 or 9 p.m. I stay up with the kid until like 2 or 3. Then I go in and bring the kid to bed and go to sleep. And then when the kid starts making noise, she takes him outside and stays up with him. And then I come home from work. So I've gone to bed from like 3. I wake up at 6:30 or 7 for work. And then I go to work for the day and I come back and I take my nap in the afternoon.
Because you can just sleep whenever you fucking want.
Right. Well, so then it equals out to about a 6 hour or 7 hour sleep day, which is good enough for me. And I have been there like going, like dozing off to sleep. And my nieces who live next door to us come over to start talking. And I can hear, I'm up. I'm not even sleeping or bothered by it. And I just hear my wife going, shh, shh, Bobby's sleeping. Shh, be quiet. And I'm like,
oh,
nice.
What a utopia.
I don't even need quiet to sleep. Like I said, I'm the sleep seagull. I don't even need it, but she's just very, very kind.
The only time Aaron's ever said shh, it was to me. So
you're snoring, Ryan.
Yeah, right. So
might wake up the dogs.
When she hears this, oh my God, I just thought of something. She was in the Army. You think she knows how to play that wake-up trumpet?
Oh, yeah, the bugle?
I think the bugle. I think she might hit me with one of those.
Aaron just starts doing reverie at 6 a.m.
That's hilarious.
Right next to my ear.
I want to ask you guys real quick, because you said you're looking forward to 10 hours of sleep. Bobby, what's your ideal amount of sleep?
About 8. But I my ideal is polyphasic. Like I like to sleep.
Don't use your science words here. This is degenerate.
Yeah.
I like sleeping 2 times a day for like 3 to 4 hours each.
Okay. See, I found out years ago when I was a banker at Chase and my schedule was a certain way, 5.5 hours is like perfect for me. I will wake up refreshed.
Nice.
I'll be fine. The problem is I can never get just that amount of sleep because I don't want to wake up in the morning.
Oh. So it's more laziness. It's like I'm good to go, but I'm too lazy to get up.
Yeah, but if I happen to wake up at the 5.5 hour mark, yeah, I'll get up. But if it's like 5 hours and 15, I'll go back to sleep and I'll sleep till long. If it's like 6 hours, I'm like, no, I want to stay in bed. It's like I can't get that 5.5 hour mark.
So anyway, me and Dave had a pretty cool road trip last week. So a little mix-up happened at the hotel. So what was happening is Friday night I was going to Pasadena to play the Ice House. And the very next night, Aaron had got us tickets for Tool, which Dave also had tickets, and so had Novin. So the plan was, I'll drive up Friday to the Ice House, and then the concert's at Glen Helen in Corona. So that's just a 45-minute trek across the freeway there. So instead of coming all the way back, Aaron would just drive up. We'd meet at the hotel.
And we were going to meet him at the hotel as well.
Right, right. So anyways, Novin and Dave beat me there by about an hour, and I come in from Pasadena. I beat Aaron there by an hour. So I go to the desk and I try to check in. Now she has made the reservation at the hotel. She's put my name on the room, but it's under her name. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm checking in for Ryan Shores. We don't have that name. Oh, try Aaron Daniel. And he's like, all right. Yes, but they didn't put you. There was a mix up. Apparently she forgot to put your name on the room. I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, well, is there any way I can check in? You know, they're like, I'm sorry, sir, there's not. I'm like, I mean, I understand. And finally, she goes, well, if you have her call us and give us permission. Mm-hmm. And so I do that. I dial her up on my phone. I hand her the phone. She says, uh-huh. Oh, he is. Okay, sir, we can check you in. Now, I didn't mention it because it would not have been in my best interest. But how do you know who that was?
Exactly. Yeah, you could have just had somebody in the parking lot.
How do you know that's not the other person that I have in cahoots to kill Aaron Daniel?
That's right.
Exactly.
And the real Aaron Daniel is going to check in. I'm going to be sitting on the bed with a K-bar knife in my fucking hand. But of course, I don't want to mention that. So then me and Dave and Nova, we went to go buy some stuff at the drugstore. We went to go get some beer. And Aaron arrives at the hotel. And they'd already given me the keys. And I have both of them on me. And she says, I'm here. Where are you? I said, I'm down the street at a CVS with Dave and Novin. So just have them give you an extra key. They can't do that, she says. I'm like, why not? Because you already have both the keys. I'm like, they're fucking 1 penny worth of plastic. So then
No, those are the only 2 keys they had for the entire hotel.
That's right.
When you have them out, that's it.
Yeah, so now she's flipping out because it's hot as fucking Rancho Cucamonga.
Oh, yeah, so hot.
And she's just in the lobby of this hotel after a 2-hour drive, like, let me into my fucking hotel room. So finally, she probably threw a big enough of a tantrum to let them up. And so she calls me and goes, all right, they let me up. I'm like, what are these rules where you'll enforce them just enough to inconvenience us,
right,
but not enough to prevent a murder from happening. So, I mean, so if it's the right person trying to get to their hotel room, a speed bump will occur. But if anyone shows up here trying to fucking kill me in my sleep with an axe, he's getting up there if he throws a big enough fuss about it.
Ryan, I got some really good news for you that you might not have even thought of. This problem is about to go away for you in a few months because once you're married, you get to go in no matter what. You don't need to have her call up. You are on the room just as if she was there with you.
How so?
Because when you're married, when she goes, oh, I'm sorry, you're not on the room, you can go, yeah, that's my wife. Here's my ID. We have the same last name. And they go, oh, okay, there you go.
I don't find this to be very reassuring. I don't think it's going to happen.
Trust me, I've done it. I have been reveling in this in the last year plus of being married. I pick up prescriptions for my wife.
Objection,
I do a bunch of stuff.
Personal experience fallacy. Not going to happen.
It's called anecdotal evidence, actually. But no.
Not on a degenerate podcast, it's not.
Yeah. More big words from the Bobby Meister. Cool. Another thing I've been doing recently is, and you might make fun of me for it, but I don't care. A couple guys I know, they don't know each other, but they're both on this like app. I'm not going to say what
you've been catfishing them.
Yes, yeah. I've been pretending to be a larger woman, so it's believable. They're kind of
tell me more.
So no, they use this app on their phone. It's one of those play free slots, you know, Vegas slot things, you know, mindless
right,
entertainment,
time killer.
Jesus. Yeah, a time killer. So I mean, you know, one thing is, I get when you're doing like the little free poker or free even blackjack, because at right. least you're playing a game.
There's a skill game are trying to get better at.
But I see them; they're playing these Vegas slot machine style things with their phone for no money. I'm like, I don't understand. What do you do? You're just right. pressing a button and watching numbers swirl around.
Right.
Like, it's making you dumber, I assume.
You guys don't know how slots work? There's a skill to slots. You need more practice.
And you could, like, theoretically, since this is just digital information, you're not even looking at a physical thing, you could have the app that's programmed to make you win every time. So you press the button, you go, "Wee, I'm a winner! Yay! Look at me!"
So I did give them shit. I'm like, "Why are you doing this?" And they're like, "Oh, well, we're not playing for the game. It's this app where if you build up loyalty points and then you get discounts in Vegas." He's like, "Yeah, I got a room last winter with my wife."
So couldn't you theoretically have an old phone hooked up to Wi-Fi? You don't even have to have it service to it. And then just have like one of those birds like on The Simpsons, like birds that constantly poke down. Well, you just have that thing set up to constantly hit the button on the phone, and you have it at home accruing loyalty points 24 hours a day.
Didn't work out for Homer Simpson, though, did it? No. You forget that.
You essentially could, but here's the catch here. This is because I'm like, what's the catch? I mean, oh yeah, you did get all this cool stuff in Vegas, you know, all the comps and stuff.
Right.
I'm like, but what's the catch, though? There's got to be something if it's free to join.
You look like an asshole playing slots on your phone.
You only get to play like 5 times a day or something like that. You only get so many credits. So the idea is it'll get people hooked, and then you can re-up credits for actual money, you know? So he's like, "Yeah, but I don't do that. I play my 5 times a day, and then I accrue the points and I get the stuff." I'm like, "All right, I can get behind that." So I got the app on my phone. I'm like, I started playing my 5 times a day. After a day, I'd won like a free frozen drink by a pool in Mandalay Bay. After a week, it's like $58 on a room that's normally $100. I'm like, all right, I could just do this for like, I'm taking a shit every day and get some. Because I go to Vegas all the time. Obviously, when I get a room comped through this thing, it'll be like on an off night, which is cool because I'm like, I'll just get there a day earlier or leave a day later. I'm cool with it. Right. So then here's where they lost me though. I was like, all right, so I won like some sort of discount room thing, some drink. I'm like, how do I redeem this stuff? I went to the guy that, you know, plays this all the time. He's like, "Oh, you just go on the computer and you print all the coupons and you take the coupons with you." See, that's where they lost me. I don't feel like coupon guy is treated with as much respect as cash guy.
That's true.
Like, I feel like, first of all, anytime I've ever like come up to a bar or a restaurant or a hotel with a printed out piece of computer paper with a barcode on it, first of all, the eye rolls start happening. Like, "Oh, look at Mr. Cheapskate over here." So that's number one. There's a stigma. Number two, they've never, I feel like the people that are supposed to receive your coupon have never fucking heard of the thing. Every single time I'm talking, they're just wildly confused. They've got to get out their reading glasses and a jeweler's eye. They have to go speak to 18 managers. And meanwhile, they're letting a line form behind you of angry people, and they know what they're doing.
You become the little old lady at the grocery store.
You do. You do. And like and Vegas is a very cool town. You don't want to be the guy with a big piece of printed out paper with a barcode on it.
Right.
You want to be Mr. Cash Guy. And so I'm like, I don't know if I want every place I visit to be like, "Oh, unfold paper. I got this app where you play free slots on your phone, and they said I get a free margarita." So am I being too paranoid, or do I have something here?
You are being a little bit of a pansy. Free drink, I'll print out a coupon. Absolutely, let's do it.
Okay.
The other thing I'm wondering is why are we getting paper involved? Like, you have the device you that you use to accrue these points. Can't you just show it to the desk clerk?
A lot of these apps, like, if there's like a little barcode on the phone itself, you show them that.
I don't make the rules. I don't know. I just don't want to be coupon guy. My point is, I feel like everything goes wrong once you introduce coupons. That's when things start coming around. "Oh no, sir. There's some fine print. This is not the day to use that." I feel like something gets fucked up. They throw a wrench in your whole program.
Yeah. No.
Even when you fucking like litigiously go over that fucking fine print with a magnifying glass, I'm like, "Now I think I'm in my parameters."
No, weird thing too, since you mentioned coupon and printouts and the barcodes and all that, I was thinking this, when we went to Tool, we had to print out our tickets. And most concerts I've been to, they scan the barcode on the ticket, right? Mm-hmm. When we went to Tool, Nova and I had really good seats, like 20 rows back, right up front.
Right.
Nobody scanned our tickets once. Like, I was like, I could have printed out several copies right. of these, gotten you guys all down to our row. We could have all had a great time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Where's your, I don't know, where's your security there? It's just weird.
Right. So essentially, the Best Western Plus in Rancho Cucamonga had better security than the fucking Tool concert.
Exactly.
Oh, what a waste.
While you guys were off having fun at a concert, I got to have like one of the worst experiences ever. Background, I have a very good friend, a guy.
You used a coupon.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I wish I had a coupon for what's about to happen. I have a buddy who I've known since I was literally 10 years old. Good friend of mine. He's leaving town. He's moving to New York. We were throwing a big party Sunday. We used to do things like make a bunch of videos and stuff when we were kids. So I dug through all my stuff, found
some old
videos.
Did he cockily announce that he knew the surprise and ruin it for everyone like you did at your birthday?
No. Shouldn't have been nice to me, Ryan. We've gone over that. You were oddly not a human being when you're usually a human being. You shouldn't have set the precedent of being a good person beforehand. That's your fault. But regardless, he's leaving town. I was going to collect all these old videos that we've had. I happened to be borrowing some equipment from groups for a different project anyway, so I was going to show all these old videos. It was going to be a big thing. I planned this big old party at a buddy's house. It was going to start Sunday at 11 a.m., and that was his going away party. The week before, on Wednesday, I had noticed that my infant son had like a little swelling going on in his chest. And I was like, oh, I think he has a little bacterial infection. I had my wife take him to the doctor the next day. She said, yeah, he does. We'll give you some antibiotics. It should be fine. And then you also have to go to Rady Children's Hospital and get a blood sample drawn just to make sure he doesn't have a blood infection. So they did that on Thursday. We got antibiotics, started giving it to him. Swelling goes down. It's great. Come Saturday, we finish recording. I get ready to start getting my stuff together for the party the next day. I'm so excited. And I get a call from the kid's physician. She's like,
he's dead.
Yeah. And she's like, the test from Rady's came back positive. He's got a blood infection. You need to take him. We've got a bed waiting for him at Rady's Children's right now. You need
to
take him.
Holy shit.
I thought they said the test for rabies for a second.
Is he foaming at the mouth?
His baby starts crawling at him at a frightening speed.
He has been hanging around a lot of bats.
Let it go. He may develop powers.
Yeah. And it was funny because I was talking to the doctor and I'm like, are you sure? And she's like, yeah.
Oh, you're that guy, Bobby?
I am. And I was like,
how do you know I'm an archaeologist?
Kind of. I was like, because he's not sick. And she's like, listen, he can get sick really quickly. He's got a blood infection. I'm like, here's the deal. I've been monitoring for a blood infection for the past few days. I've been checking his temperature. He doesn't have any fever, which he would have if he has a blood infection. He has no loss of appetite. He's incredibly hungry, which he would have if he had a blood infection. His heartbeat is normal, which
would
not be the
case. Tell me you got this on Google.
Right? No.
You Googled the symptoms, didn't you?
Not at all. PubMed.
That's the same goddamn thing.
No, it's not. It's published articles. Anyway, regardless, I've gone through everything. I was like, listen, I just don't think he's sick. I think there was a mistake. And by the way, your tests can have a really high.
By the way, this coupon has expired.
Yeah. I was like, your
2-for-1 blood tests. Only on Wednesdays.
Your test could have a really high false positive rate, and I think that's the case. And I topped it off with this. I was like, even if all that was the case, I would still bring him in. Here's the reason I don't want to bring him in. That infection that he had has now essentially gone away. The antibiotics you gave me are working. That effect, the skin infection that he had has swollen down. There is like essentially no case in medical literature of somebody whose immune system only works on their chest and not anywhere else in their body.
Huh.
So there's no way if he was having a massive blood infection that was causing him a huge problem, the rest of his body would not be getting better very quickly and very healthily, and he wouldn't be healthy in all these other ways. And she's like, yeah, you're right, but I need you to go. And I was like, I was like, that's because you don't pay a $3,000 deductible. You're just covering your ass. If you don't tell me to go and something happens to the kid, you're in trouble. If you do tell me to go and nothing's wrong, but I'm the one who has to pay the $3,000, not you.
That's true.
And so she's like, yeah, but
should
I need
use
you
to use the coupon.
Yeah, pay my baby slots.
Yeah. There's three bottles lined up. I get to go for free. And so I was like, listen, I just don't think we're going to go. Like, I'm going to talk with my wife about it. I'm going to keep monitoring his temperature, but I just don't think so. And she was like, I just have to tell you to go. And I was like, all right. And so I hang up with her. I call up Rady's Children's. I'm like, can I get some info on the infection? No, we don't know. Okay, well, here's the symptoms, blah, blah, blah. I call a neonatal nurse that's a friend of ours. Talk to her for a little while. I call a few physicians I know. All of them kind of tell me, I would tell you to go for sure if it wasn't for the fact that infection is clearing up. That is really, really weird. That would really not be happening if he had a blood infection. And I was like, yeah. And so I don't think I'm going. I get a call at like 11 o'clock almost 11 o'clock from the doctor's boss.
The baby called me. Why won't you take me to the hospital?
The doctor's boss called me and she is like, you need to go right now. I am telling you to go to Rady's. And I was like, yeah, he's not sick though.
Jesus, Bobby.
She's like,
I want this story to end with Bobby getting an honorary PhD to become a doctor. And they ask him to come to the hospital.
First of all, doctors don't have PhDs. But I was like, yeah, he's just not sick. Like, I don't know what to tell you. And she's like, you need to go right now. He could die at any moment. And I was like, okay, fine, I'll go. If you can explain to me how this selective infection happens, how one infection is getting better and the other isn't. She's like, I can't explain that. But still, it's better safe than sorry. And I go, it's not safe or sorry. Actually, most kids get really bad infections like MRSA when they go to the hospital. It's a non-zero risk to take a child to the hospital. It's not safe or sorry. It's whether or not he needs to go. And if he doesn't need to go and I take him there, that's unsafe. And she was like, you need to go right now. I was like, fine, fuck it. We'll go. So we leave the house. We finally get everything together. We get there just after midnight, check into Rady's. They check us in, get everything together. Finally, the resident, who is a doctor, if you don't know, it's a doctor who has graduated medical school, but hasn't fully become an actual functioning doctor. They're essentially like an intern. Think of it like an intern.
Yes, but they also have a attending physician always looking over them. So,
except the attending physician isn't there. It is attending physician by phone. Oh. Because it's midnight.
That's unethical.
Yeah. So the resident comes in after we get all settled with the nurse, and the resident comes in and she's like, we want to put him on IV antibiotics just to make sure. And I was like, fuck no, you're not. Like, we're not doing it. That's many day treatment in the hospital.
Take him apart and put him back together. Yeah. I was like, your remote control.
I was like, no way.
This out for a different baby.
Yeah. I was like,
I'll get you a new one immediately. I'm so sorry.
I looked at her. I was like, I don't even think he's sick. We're not putting him on IV antibiotics for sure. The only thing we're doing here is in case he does get sick, I guess you guys can help him or something. And she's like, okay. And then she comes back 15 minutes later. And she's like, oh, by the way, at 11 o'clock, so over an hour and a half before we actually checked in the hospital, the results came back that it was just a contamination in the sample. He doesn't actually have a blood infection.
This blood sample is for a zebra.
Yeah. And I was looking at her. I'm like, and I go, why are we here? What are you talking about? Why didn't you tell us? And she's like, oh, yeah, that's a good question, I guess. Yeah. And I was like, when we walked through the door, you should have told us that. What are you fucking talking about? And then you wanted to give him IV antibiotics after you knew it was an infection?
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, yeah. And we're like, oh, my God. Okay, well, also, we don't want to do overnight in a hospital. It's going to kill our $3,000 deductible. We're out of here. And she goes, well, actually, there's no attending physician on duty right now, and I'm just a resident, so I can't discharge you. So if you leave, we have to call child services.
My God.
And I was like, wait, so you've essentially lied to us to get us in here, lied to us when we walked through the door, and now you're kidnapping us and not letting us leave? And she's like, well,
yeah.
The attending should be here at like 9 tomorrow. And what? Then,
no, you call the attending right fucking now.
And I was like, oh, my God. And so Jill and I slept on a couch that was the equivalent size of half a twin bed. And sat there while our kid was miserable in this place that was not his home while a bunch of people bothered him and stuff. And then the doctors came in the morning and was like, and they were doing rounds too. So they had a whole bunch of other doctors with them and residents and stuff. They come in. They're like,
please tell me you embarrassed them in front of everybody.
Oh my God. She came in and she's like, and then here's a blood infection. I was like, actually, there's no blood infection. Your lab messed it up. And she goes, well, better safe than sorry. I was like, it's not safe or sorry. It's actually less safe for him to be here. And I went through the whole thing and she goes, yeah,
but
well,
still.
Yeah, it was basically, yeah, but still. And eventually they let us go. And I was so livid. They discharged us at 10 a.m. Again, I have not slept essentially the whole night. I got maybe an hour and a half worth of sleep through
You're
that entire
pigeon.
Thing. Yeah, I sleep seagull, Dave. But I didn't get to seagull anything because unfortunately I didn't get any sleep through that entire night.
I just want to feed you Alka-Seltzer now.
Yeah. Make me explode.
I think Mentos do it too.
And so we get discharged at 10 a.m. with what is probably going to be a $3,000 bill for nothing. And then I have to go set up this party that I did not get time to set up the entire... I was supposed to have all
That's
night to
the
do.
That's the real tragedy here.
I go to a friend's going away party who I've known for 20 plus years, who I was supposed to throw a going away party for. And I then have to stumble through this poor guy's like party having nothing ready, nothing set up, none of these videos I promised everybody, none of the beer, nothing. And show up late to the party I was setting up for him. Just because one dipshit in Rady's Children's Hospital doesn't know how to draw blood and everybody else won't fucking listen to me.
Yeah.
Did you get the $3,000 bill?
I have been fighting Rady's right now. I basically called them up and I was like, just so you know, you're not charging us for what happened. And the guy's like, well, we usually charge. Like, I don't care what you usually do. Just so you know, you're not charging us.
Do you usually also lie?
Yeah. I was like, you're not charging us? Oh, and by the way, not only are you not charging us, I want my money back for the fucking blood test we took that you fucked up too, because you didn't do that right. And they are now going through their administrative process. So I have my other tactic, which is I call up, I'm calling up on Tuesday if they haven't called me back yet to get the malpractice insurance information for the phlebotomist who took the blood. Just calling for that inquiry will automatically set off a bunch of bells and whistles.
Oh, yeah. No, as someone that's worked in that field, right. Like the minute you do two words, malpractice or HIPAA violation.
Okay,
let's make this person go away.
Right. And so I just want them to be like, okay, nix that bill. But regardless, Rady's Children's Hospital, for those of you not in San Diego, is like a world-class children's hospital. It's one of the best children's hospitals on earth, and they don't have their shit together enough to do the very most basic stuff.
Speaking of which, speaking of complaining patients, as I've mentioned, I used to work in the medical field. One of the most bizarre complaining patients I'd ever seen was a patient of one of my doctor friends in the practice. Let's call her Dr. Courtney. And she got a patient that was wanting her to fill out some disability forms so she could go on disability. Right. Now, usually when this happens, it's like a line cook or a construction worker where disability is kind of a lateral move financially.
Right.
This person was a lawyer. Oh, wow. I'm like, whoa. And also not sick, not disabled.
What was their attempted disability?
Was it like paper cuts or something? Yeah.
Fibromyalgia.
Okay.
Not a thing. If anyone listening has fibromyalgia, you have depression. Anyway, so...
Or it could be another disease that is masking itself and you can't find it and there's something else going on.
Yeah, but fibromyalgia is not a thing.
So there does not seem to be a lot of literature to support it.
There you go, Bobby. You are the doctor. Anyway, so anyways.
Certainly better than the doctors.
A phlebotomist, I'll tell you that much. So anyway, she started harassing the clinic I worked at the time and saying that she was going to sue us. So if you're all keeping track here, she was threatening to sue us for saying that she still had the ability to sue people. Because she was a lawyer.
That's a good point.
Yeah, like I will sue you. I'm like, well, you're going to negate your point right when we get into the courtroom. All you've been doing is firing off angry emails, making angry phone calls, and threatening you to court. That's all you do as a lawyer.
Shores is like, you'll try to sue us, but the fibromyalgia will prevent you from doing that. I win.
What's really interesting is there's a lot of, there's different ranges of like pseudo diseases and things we don't know about. Like, a lot of people who get things like fibromyalgia, it turns out, or who think they have fibromyalgia, it turns out sometimes they have another disease. Like you said, sometimes they'll have depression, sometimes they'll have psychosomatic issues. There's one called Morgellons, which is really interesting. It's where people believe that fibers are growing out of their skin.
Oh, not the famous explorer?
No, not at all. That's Mugellan. Close enough, though.
I'm sorry.
And these people are really interesting because what happens is people don't notice this, but this happens to everybody. Like as you're sleeping, little bits of like the feathers in your pillow will get stuck in the outer layers of your skin. Little bits of like your clothes and stuff will get stuck in the outer layers of your skin.
Hey, I'm Bobby. I can afford feather pillows, everybody.
Ooh, right. Ooh, look who doesn't sleep on the floor with a little bunched up hoodie next to his head.
Aaron yells about bras.
Ooh, he probably has his own toothbrush. Ooh, look who's too good to rub some fucking Crest on the end of their index finger. And smear it all over their teeth.
Those are actually like your feathers because you sleep like a pigeon.
Yeah, you're a sleep pelican, right?
God damn it, sleep seagull!
Oh, sorry.
So people like scratch at those things and they see the little fibers coming out and they think their skin is growing fibers and it becomes a psychosomatic illness where you become convinced of it and then all of a sudden you start picking at yourself and reconfirming it every time and you think you have this debilitating condition where somehow your body produces like cotton and feathers and... I mean, bits of feathers.
You think you're becoming a chicken?
No, you think you were a chicken. Now you're reverting.
You were a chicken in your past life.
It reminds me actually a lot of like conspiracy theorists and like their way of thinking, of constantly thinking everything's against them. And, you know, they've figured out the secret and all this stuff is wrong. And it struck me that we had a similar thing going on with our upcoming debate, our upcoming flat earth debate. Which... Ryan, you have recently got drawn into my world of crazy, and I have to apologize to you right off the bat.
Oh, no, I brought this upon myself, and I accept full responsibility for it. I did not think it was going to happen.
Ryan, you are the MC, of course, for this event coming up July 13th, 9 p.m. at the Ken Club, free admission. Ryan is going to be MCing this event, and as such, he reached out to my co-debater, if you will, to talk about it. And Ryan got a little taste of what I have been going through over the past few weeks.
Yes, I very much did. Now, again, I was instructed by Bobby not to be condescending, which as any listener of this show knows is very difficult for me. But I've really stuck it out.
And that goes for everybody. Anyone listening who's going to attend the debates, this has to go off as smoothly as possible. Like, we cannot make fun of him during the debate. We cannot, as soon as you put him on the defensive,
Right.
He's just going to stop and our fun will be over.
And I don't want to, and listen, you can make fun of me or him or anyone you want after we after we get through the segment of the debate where we state what we believe and why. So the reason for that is I want him to be able to state his claim without any prejudice upon him. I don't want anybody making fun of him or laughing him up to that point. Now, once we get to the point where either of us are debating our ideas, are going back and forth and saying, this is why I think this or this is why I think this. If I say something stupid, feel free to laugh at me. If he says something stupid at that point, feel free to laugh at him. I just want it to get to the point where we are able to first communicate.
If you refers to himself as a sleep falcon, right. laugh away.
Yeah, feel free, please. I just want us to be able to get to the point where we are able, in the initial part of the debate, to get out our initial ideas, state what we believe and why, without being encumbered. After that, and we will make that point clear, then feel free to treat this like the show that it is.
Now, that being said, I wanted to uphold Bobby's wishes, and I wrote Daniel, his co-debater, a email that was no different.
Co-debater sounds so dirty. I'm sorry.
It does. I wrote him an email that I would no different than one I'd send to any professional I was working with, you know, doing MC work or anything else like that. I said, "Hello, Daniel. My name is Ryan. I'll be moderating or hosting your debate against Bobby in July. I want to make sure everything is fair and balanced, so I wanted to reach out to you to find out a little bit about your background and see how you would like me to introduce you. For instance, when I introduce Bobby, I might say something to the effect of, representing spherical Earth archaeologist and podcaster Robert Timothy, are there any specifics about you want mentioned? I'm also trying to stay away from humorous credits, by the way, to preserve the legitimacy of the debate. Looking forward to meeting you."
I love that you even added the part that would have taken away any kind of out for what he responded with. That is what I love. It's it's such a well-crafted.
I anticipated him having the out to say, "I was just trying to be funny."
Right.
I said, "Don't try and be funny. I want this to be legitimate. Please tell me actual things." His response. "Ha ha, what up, Ryan? Gorilla ontologist was the number one thing." Now that was spelled like guerrilla warfare, Che Guevara.
Right. Not like he's just a giant silverback wondering about the nature of reality.
Right. Political scientist / activist. Also, I'm an archaeologist too. Ordained minister. Subgenius. Surrealist. Wait for it.
You can claim to, anybody can claim to be a surrealist, I guess.
Yeah, that's just, yeah.
God damn it, Dave.
Existentialist. Also, former teacher's aide and researcher.
I wonder if the former teacher's aide was while he was being homeschooled, because that would just be a little bit funnier.
Get the crayons.
Then he said, "Invite me to your events." I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, but right. No. And he said, anyway. I said, "Okay, will do." And I said, "I can't really use subgenius as it's more of an opinion of yourself than a credit, but I'd be happy to use anthropologist." I'm sorry, he also included anthropologist.
Right.
"Where did you earn your anthropology degree?" "No, I'm literally a subgenius, official member."
Yeah, well, that is a club thing.
I didn't know there was a club.
I didn't know either.
It's the world's first, quote-unquote, for-profit religion.
I thought he was saying, I'm not quite a genius, I'm almost there.
Right. I also, by the way, if it were that, literally anybody who's not a genius would be a subgenius.
Right, right, exactly. I'm a subgenius.
It's interesting because they're like, we're a for-profit religion. And it's like, wow, you took all the bullshit that usually is in religion and just said, we're not even couching it in bullshit terms. We're just going right off for it. Give us your money.
Yeah, it's basically like saying I'm a general in the KISS Army.
Yeah.
Because I sent them $5 to join the fan club. That's essentially what it is.
You're not far off because Daniel emailed me again that he is the official pope of the Church of the Subgenius.
Wow.
So he's high up there, man.
Now, when you share these messages with us online, all the Goregenerates, my initial reaction was like, we have to get Bobby into that same fake church
right. And
get him a higher rank.
Turbo! Pope, yeah. Subgenius.
All these credits that Daniel's giving us, I want to get Bobby all the same credits, but like a step better.
I could be the Jesus of the Subgenius church.
Oh, you'd be Subgenius. all right, but there's more here. I asked him, of course, where did you get your anthropology degree? I was just going to leave archaeology alone.
Right.
Because
it's sub-discipline of anthropology, same thing.
Yeah, so anyway, I said, where did you earn your anthropology degree? He said, no college, never attended. Self-education is the only possible education.
Literally, it's not, though.
Demonstrably false.
He just ruined his credit as teacher's aide. If he doesn't
That's
believe
true. Oh, my God, Dave. You know what? You should write him back a message. I'm sorry. I'll agree to everything, but I can't list you as a teacher's aide anymore. That's not self-education.
Can we start with maybe, I don't know, debunking his self-education as the only form of education? Just right off the bat, Dave. You'll bring that guitar you just bought from the pawn shop. I'll come out with my guitar. I will teach you E minor and be like, boom.
No. Fuck that. I'll teach myself E minor.
Ah, bummer.
I'll just fuck around with the strings and you tell me if I'm getting close or not.
God, we would.
Nope, that's not it.
We would have so many dead electricians if that was the case. Sorry, no books for me. Just jam your pliers in here.
And also, right after you're done clunking around on your Ibanez, I'm going to go, Dave, you are a sub-virtuoso, my friend.
But so, if anything, this should tantalize you. Definitely come out. This will be one of those once-in-a-lifetime type events, because I feel like he's not going to want to do it again the second time. So nope. If you can, please come out that Thursday, 9 p.m. at the Kensington Club. The Degenerates are going to be there. So will Science Faction members. Dave, I haven't actually asked you this. I'd like to ask you this live on tape.
I believe it's round.
Okay, fair enough. Ryan's obviously going to be emceeing the event.
So I can't, I'm not allowed to tell you what I believe.
Right. One of the things we would like to do for our podcast, which, you know, won't necessarily be around for the live event part, but for the podcast, is to have you and Damien in the back essentially doing Mystery Science Theater 3000 for the debate. So what we would like is to have you guys back there on the boards. Now, the crowd won't be able to hear you, because again, that would be unfair if you were criticizing him in there. But that way, when we later publish...
What makes
publish,
you think we'll be criticizing him, by the way?
Yeah, it's true. You might be criticizing me. That's very valid. When we later publish it, we would like to basically have the Damien and Dave commentary of the debate going.
Oh, so there's going to be a crossover supergroup podcast situation?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Now, as far as the debate goes, I've gone through... I don't know about you guys. I've gone through waves of like excitement and disappointment and excitement again, because when this first came up, I was like, this is going to be fucking great.
Right.
It's going to be so much fun. But then, as I started to learn more about Daniel, which... he's blocked me from Facebook a long time ago, so I miss out a lot of his stuff. I was starting to think, I was starting to get disappointed. I'm like, no matter what we tell him, Bobby could literally take him up into space in a rocket ship, fly him around the Earth, and he would still not believe it's a globe. So I was starting to get disappointed, like, there's no way to prove this guy. But then I started to get excited again, because now I'm just looking forward to the mental gymnastics he's going to display for us.
Right.
Like, the reasoning that he produces is just going to fascinate me. Like, oh my God, this guy is legit insane.
And Erin, my fiance, brought up a point to me, and she said, I don't know about all this. It kind of seems like you're just drawing out a dumb person and making fun of him. Now, what I said...
I had these concerns too, by the way.
Yes, and that's exactly what we're doing. But... here's what I did say to her, though. She said, what's the point? My answer to Erin was, the cult of...
Wait until after 7 a.m. to talk to me.
Also, go buy some bras.
And shut those dogs up. So what I said to her is, the cult of ignorance in this country is running rampant. And what that starts with is these people not being put in check. It starts with... Hey, let's not hurt the flat earther's feelings by making him feel dumb, you know. And I also said, I would never, Bobby would never, Dave would never, just find out someone couldn't read and be like, hey, look at this fucking idiot. But when people try and spread that, it starts with, like, I don't want to hurt the flat earther's feelings. Then it goes to, I don't want to hurt the anti-vaxxers' feelings.
Right.
I don't want to, you know, and now you have kids with polio. So, I mean, I'm like, it's... People like this need to be put in check.
It goes a step further, though, too, because this is a very... If this had just been a guy who happened to be a flat earther, he's doing his own thing, I wouldn't have even touched it with a 10-foot pole. And I made that clear, actually. I've made that clear on other posts that Daniel has brought up. I wasn't even involved in this until somebody asked me to get involved in this. The real reason that I chose to is twofold. One is, there's a guy on the very original text thread. You can go look at Dan Bublitz's original Facebook post and look at it.
I didn't choose this, it chose me.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the hero this town needs. On that very first thread, there's a guy who posts like, hey, I don't know about all this flat earth stuff, but there are some pretty convincing videos here and here. So, you know, who knows? So one is, there is people on the fence.
Lots of people know.
There are people on the fence. They may be dumb, fine, but they still have the right to not be on that fence and to be shown the right way. The second is,
there shouldn't even be a fence.
Right.
Like, what the fuck?
Well, it's more of an ice wall, but regardless, he's on the ice wall about it. There's also the issue that this guy, Daniel, goes off and posts a lot very aggressively on other people's walls with very, very bad arguments. If nobody stands up and refutes those arguments, then we're just sitting there and allowing him to constantly spread that. There needs to be a forum where someone says, here's why this argument is invalid, here's why this argument is invalid, here's why this argument is invalid. Let's tape it and put it online so next time he starts posting on a bunch of stuff, you could just link to this YouTube video and it's done. The idea that we're going to allow somebody to make invalid arguments so that we don't hurt their feelings and nobody's going to stand up and refute it leads to those people who are on the fence, however small that percentage be, go the wrong way. And you will see more and more. Listen, there was no such thing as, or wasn't a very big community of flat earthers 3 years ago. This has exploded in the last 3 years.
Sure,
and there's
more people are getting to the edge.
Right, exactly. Hey. And there's a lot of people in the science community who say, hey, step back, don't address it, don't do that. And to some extent, I agree with them. But at some point, somebody has to say, here is why these arguments don't work. We're not going to necessarily have 10 debates on it, but we're going to state why these are invalid arguments. And then from then on, nobody else has to go up and state this again.
Right.
Now, I'm holding out hope. There's a very tiny chance that as the debate starts, Bobby's going to produce evidence that the Earth is flat.
Oh.
He's going to stand up and say, I'm the king of pranks. High five, Falkenbach. And they're going to fly away.
Yeah, he can't do that, too. He is a sleep condor.
God damn it.
So anyways, moving on to a different topic here, if I could. You guys may have remembered a news article. It came out about 4 weeks ago. Very tragic. An Uber driver was stabbed to death by some shitty little teenager who I think she had both a machete and a hatchet.
I think she like stole him from Walmart, called an Uber, and then just killed him.
Yeah.
I've not heard about this. Was this person schizophrenic or?
We don't know.
Okay.
Those are the facts we do know. Now, the family of the Uber driver, and first of all, I mean, couldn't be more sympathetic to them. Right. It's a senseless thing. They are suing. Does anyone like to guess who they're suing, though?
Well, I'd say the biggest choices are the girl or Uber.
See, that would be what I thought, too. It's Walmart. They're suing the Walmart that she stole, did not purchase, stole the items from.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, is their claim that their like loss prevention didn't tackle her on the way out? Like, what is the...
That's probably it. I was trying to look for an angle here, but really the angle is, okay, I've heard three things in this. That person killed my son. Uber's only been around for a few years. Walmart has a lot of money.
Right.
So that's... Guess who we're going to sue?
Yeah, that really...
Very coincidental.
That takes public opinion really off your side in that case, doesn't it? It goes from, oh my God, what a tragedy, to like, hey guys, what the fuck are you guys doing?
Yeah, like, now, what kind of character does Uber driver have? You're the one who raised him.
It's just insane, dude. That makes no sense at all. See, but this is like that spread of the cult of ignorance.
Right.
It's like people just doing shit that doesn't make any sense. These people should come to the debate.
Well, I think what happens is probably some lawyer has told them, listen, we just filed a suit. It doesn't go to court. We'll take a settlement for $50,000 because Walmart doesn't want to go to court. And it costs them that much to do so. So let's just do this. And it's sad because that is one of the big problems with America. I fucking love the shit out of this country, but there are parts of it that I hate. And one of the biggest parts is the litigious nature of everything. You go to other countries, there is nothing like the lawsuit culture that we have here. It is insane.
We have ads for lawyers. And when people visit from other countries, right, they're like, what the fuck is this?
Right. And we have so many personal injury attorneys, just all of these people whose entire job it is to make bullshit claims against other people and other corporations and all this stuff. And because of that, we live in a constant state of fear. People get their houses taken away from them. People lose their livelihoods because some jackass wants to go after whoever has deep pockets or whoever they feel like they can do it. And the worst part is they feel entitled to it. It's like, hey, man, well, listen, if it's legally allowed, then I'm entitled to sue them. I'm able to.
Yeah.
I think there needs to be more of the, hey, everybody who files one of these bullshit lawsuits, let's start a website. Let's start like the Darwin Awards for bullshit websites. Put them on it and then just follow around with the camera every once in a while and be like, so one of those families who like, the burglar breaks into somebody's house and trips and falls and their family sues the homeowner. Yeah. Like, we just follow their family around literally all day with the video camera. Hey, do you still feel good about your life right now? Like, you know, with the whole raising a shit-ass son and then suing innocent people that he was victimizing? How does that go?
I read an article maybe 10 years ago about a lawyer. I'm sure there's hundreds of lawyers like this out there, but there's a lawyer, like, he just looks for lawsuits. The example they gave was he went to a toy store and bought one of those Super Soaker squirt guns. It says squirts up to 30 feet. Took it home, tried it, got it to shoot less than that, and sued them for false advertising. Like, what kind of a piece of shit are you?
We gotta take it back a notch, is what I'm saying.
It's fucking insane.
And you're right. People do live in fear. Honestly, the minute I bought my house, it got back to me. There was a comic that was trying to entice me to punch him by sending me shit online. Because I talked to mutual friends. I'm like, what is he doing? He's like, dude, he literally said he wants you to hit him so he can sue you and take your house.
Wow.
He said that with his mouth. And I almost did punch him thing. I almost did.
Listen, with all these bad people out there, and we should start this camera show you're talking about, Bobby. We should inject into it the vigilante angle. Here's what I want you to do. We'll tie everything together. You're going to be the spokesman.
Uh-huh.
You're going to walk up to people and you're going to say, hey, I got a coupon for you. You hand them the coupon. They open it and read it like it says one free ass whooping. And then you punch them.
There you go.
No, me, I'd be like, sorry. So this coupon is only for Wednesdays. I'm sorry. The barcode's expired.
I got it, Ryan. I got an even better one for this show. We go up to that guy that you wanted, that really wanted you to hit him. You go up, hey, you still talking shit? Yeah, I am. All right, well, I guess you act like you want to get punched in the face. Yeah, and you cock back like you're about to hit him. You start swinging. You stop. He closes his eyes instinctively. All of a sudden, we have a paid homeless guy just come run in and deck the guy. He looks up and he's like, ah, I got you, Ryan. I'm going to sue the shit out of you. Later, when the lawyer files the paperwork, we just send in the footage of the homeless guy. Good luck getting his Coleman stove and camp tent.
Let me tell you how that's going to go for me. I'll get to court all cocky, as a hobo. And that's when his lawyer pulls up a deposition where the hobo on record says, Ryan paid me to do it. I am just as much at fault.
I guess then the only other option would be to dress a hobo up like Ryan Shores and have him at the same events until, because if this guy antagonizes.
You can argue that most hobos are already dressed like
kind of, yeah. If this guy wants to antagonize Ryan, it doesn't take much to antagonize a homeless person to punching you. If he just thinks that this homeless person is Ryan and gets punched, well, then that's on him.
Could be. It doesn't solve the fear I have. That every time I step outside my front door, someone's going to be like, you've traumatized me. House, please.
It's Aaron about sleeping. You told everybody about me waking you up.
Oh, no. I'm going to be launching a pretty serious lawsuit against her, actually. Sleep deprivation. All right. Let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and the sleep penguin over here, Bobby, saying see you next week. Cruising with the twos. That's it. Yeah, time passing by.
Motherfucking time is passing by.
I beat Aaron. I beat Aaron. I beat Aaron.